Amen, amen. Is anyone happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. One of my favorite scriptures because I love being in the house of the Lord. Before I get started this morning, I just want to share something that's going on with our district. We are instituting a training program. It's called Accelerated Institute of Ministry, and I have agreed to be one of our satellite churches. So we are going to be, the emphasis is going to be on training ministers, amen? That's what our goal is, and it doesn't have to be if you want it to be a licensed minister. If you just want to know more about scriptures, about you know what the scriptures teach on the various subjects that we take, that's fine. But our goal, our prayer is to train up ministers to take the place of the old guys like me. So we're going to start that. If you there's information on the back, please let me know. We will start working on getting your books ordered and talking about the things that we need to talk about. There is a cost to it, so and they're all have doctorates. I mean, so it's college level courses. And believe me, you will have to study. You will have to work at it. They're not just going to hand it to you. So it's well worth your while. So enough being said with that. Let's get into the Word. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 13, we're going to start with. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Having done all, to stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts to your word. Help us, Father, to get from you the things that we need, that we might be able to stand against all the schemes that the enemy throws against us. Father, that we might hear those words, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So I titled my message this morning, Stand Your Ground. Stand Your Ground. We hear that phrase and we immediately think, oh, this is the law that allows us to protect our property and our persons, and it's a good thing, amen? But in Scripture, he's talking about protecting our salvation, protecting our witness, protecting the very things that he freely gave us. Now, as I said before, I'll say it again, salvation is free. But sometimes keeping it takes work. Amen? Freedom is free, but to keep it, it takes work. Amen? So Paul was telling the church at Ephesus, he's saying, when you've done everything that you can do to stand, stand. And then he talks about the armor of God, and we've talked about that before, having the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, a helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And the very last piece was what? Who can remember? Who can say it? Pray. Praying always in the Spirit. Amen? That's such a big part. But Paul was telling them to stand. See, so many times we face the battle with the enemy, and instead of standing up to the enemy, we start stepping back. We start losing ground. Instead of standing up and saying, "No more, Satan, you're not going to get hold of me anymore. You're not going to win this battle." See, we already know he's lost the war. Amen? But every war is made up of a whole bunch of battles. We don't want to lose any of the battles. Amen? We don't want to lose any of the battles. We want to win them all. So we've got to learn to stand. When we've done everything that we can do to stand, Paul says, stand. In other words, when you're at the end of your rope, when you've done it all, when you can't do it anymore, stay there. Amen? Stay there. Reminded years ago about this cartoon that you used to see in some of the ministerial magazines that they used to print. And I don't know where it came from, so, you know. But this guy has slipped off the side of a cliff, and he's hanging on to this branch. And as he's hanging there on the branch, he screams out, "God, help me!" And God says, "Let go." And God says, "Let go." He looks up and he says, "Is there anyone else up there?" And sometimes that's the way we treat God. God gives us an answer for something, and we want to say, "I don't like that one. Can you give me a different one?" And how many of you know that God's ways are better than my ways? I don't know if anybody else has ever experienced it, but, you know, I've done things on my own once or twice anyway. I've done things on my own and come to find out that, you know, this isn't near as good as the way God had it for me. James, the fourth chapter. Verse 7. I want you to get these words very carefully. Listen very carefully to what James says. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." But you see, there's a process here. There's a process that it takes. The first thing is we have to submit ourselves to God. We don't even get to start building a relationship with God until we submit ourselves to God. Amen? He's waiting there with open arms. But we have to take a step forward and say, "Okay, God, I'm ready to submit to you." And then it says, "Resist the devil." Now, resisting the devil, it doesn't mean that when the devil pops his ugly head up, I say, "Oh boy, I don't want anything to do with this. I'm getting out of here." Resisting the devil means just exactly that. Resisting the devil. The devil's not your friend. We know that, right? And the devil is going to try to accuse you of everything you ever did in your past. And how many of you know I was guilty? I did it. Yes, I did it. But you know what? I've been pardoned. I no longer have to do that. So when the devil starts telling me all these things I did in my past, I just say, "You're right. But you know what? I've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been sanctified. I've been set free. I'm now a child of God. I'm a child of the King. I'm a prince. I'm an heir. I don't have to listen to you anymore. That's what resisting the devil looks like. And when he comes to me and says, hey, you know, this would be fun to do over here. How many of you, before you allowed the Lord to come into your life and you submitted yourself to him, how many of you thought you were having fun? Everybody's afraid to raise their hand, huh? I thought I was having all kinds of fun because I didn't know. So I've got to start resisting the devil when he comes to me and says this or that. I've just got to say no, no more. You have no authority over my life anymore because I submit it to Jesus. God's in control here. Then it says he will flee from me. Do you hear that? He will flee. You know what the word flee means? To run away. To run. To run away from me. But really not from me, from the Spirit of God that's in me. Amen? The devil will flee from me. And then it says to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. See, there's a process that takes place here. First, we humble ourselves or submit ourselves to God. Then we resist the devil. Then we draw near to God. And how many of you know that when we're in God's presence, Satan just doesn't have a chance? Amen? He doesn't have any power, any authority, if we just learn to stay in God's presence. Now, I know we all have to go to work. We all have to be out into the world. But we can take God's presence with us. We can stay right in God's presence 24/7. So how do we resist the devil? Well, first of all, let's look at what these words even mean. The word resist in the Greek is, I'll try to say it, antistemi. And it means to stand against or to oppose, to resist or to withstand. The word submit is huptoasso, and it means to subordinate, or reflectively to obey, to be under the obedience, to put under, to subdue, to subdue unto, or to make subject unto, to put in subjection to submit self unto. Now, I know that's a lot of words, but did you get the gist of that? It is to willingly submit to. Nothing in there about, you know, God's going to grab us and shove us down and say, you will serve me. This is all about submitting myself to God so that God can have his way in my life. So that God can be my lead. So that God can be my light. So that God can be the one that I'm following after. The perfect example is Jesus. Obviously, amen. He's always our best example. But when he was taken to the wilderness, he was taken to the wilderness to be tempted, the word says. And as he was being tempted, you know, Satan came to him, right? And Satan, you know, had all this nice stuff that he was showing him, that he was telling him, that he was trying to get him to do. And it all sounded really cool. But Jesus knew better. And so what did Jesus answer him with every time? It is written. He first came to him after 40 days of fasting. Scripture says he was hungry. Anybody think you'd be hungry after 40 days of fasting? Never made it 40 days of fasting. He was hungry. So what does Satan come and tempt him with the first thing? Command this stone to be made bread. Sounds good, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, that sounds really good. I haven't eaten for 40 days. That sounds really good. And Jesus knew his trick. And he said, you don't understand, Satan. The word says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. He brought it right back to the word of God. Jesus knew what it was to stand, even when he was weak. I like when people spiritualize, you know, Jesus' life. Oh, you don't really think Jesus was really hungry? What? If you didn't eat for 40 days, I guarantee you're hungry. I don't care who you are, amen? It wasn't some spiritual feat that Jesus did. It was his standing on the Word of God, him knowing what the Word said, him standing up and resisting Satan and saying, no, I will not. And see, that didn't work. So Satan came back to him. He tried to use the Word of God. He said, well, you know, I'm going to show you all the realms of the earth. And he said, you know what? Cast yourself off of here, because the scripture says, scripture says, he's not going to allow you to dash your foot against a stone. Now, was Satan telling him the truth? Absolutely. He was telling him the truth, but Jesus understood where Satan was going with this. And so he stood and he used the word of God again to stand against the enemy, the devil. But so many times, instead of resisting, and instead of saying no, instead of saying, I'm going to follow God regardless, we give way to the enemy. And we say, well, you know, that's a little hard for me. So, you know, I'm just going to take a break on this one. And I step back out of the fight. Trouble is, when I step back out of the fight, I'm on my own, and I have to get back close to God, and I have to get back where God wants me to be, where he's protecting me. I have to get that armor back on. I have to get back in the Word, when it's so easy to stay in the Word, amen? When it's so easy to stay covered in the armor of God. We don't have to allow Satan to have any authority in our lives. First Peter, verse 5. Or I'm sorry, chapter 5. More than one verse 5. You go, what chapter there? 1 Peter 5, verses 6, 7, and 8. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Now notice the first part of that is humbling ourselves unto God. That's a little difficult for a lot of us. Especially before I got saved, I was a pretty proud guy, you know. No one was going to tell me what to do. I had to humble myself to God. But notice what he says here. Casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. And then he says, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, be aware, be in your right mind, be watching, be attentive, know what's going on. Can I put it in a way that when I teach firearms concealed carry classes, can I put it in the way that we tell our students? There are several areas of being vigilant or being aware, and the first area is condition white. And condition white is, I don't have my phone up here, but here, this will be my phone. You know, I'm walking down the street, I'm going like this, and all this stuff's happening. I'm just on my phone and stuff like this, and I have no clue what's going on out there. Amen? That's condition white. Condition yellow is where I'm walking down the street, and you know, Jeanette will tell you I'm in condition yellow all the time. Just unfortunate habit. You're always looking around. I know who is around me at all times. I know where every exit is when I walk into a building. When I sit down in a restaurant, I try my best to sit with my back against a wall where I can see who's coming in. I mean, I am aware of what's going on. And then condition orange is when, because I've been vigilant, because I've been aware, I see a threat coming down the street. And I see this threat, and now my antennas are up. I am no longer just kind of watching. I'm focused in on a threat. But you see, I won't see that threat if I'm in condition white. So, Christians, we never need to be in condition white. Amen? We need to be aware that we have an enemy that is trying to come in. We need to always be aware of that. Condition orange, you know you've got to make a change. There's something that has to change or you're in trouble. And then condition red, it's too late. It's already, you're already in the midst of something you don't want to be in the midst of. And you know, that's kind of the way we teach it in your concealed carry classes. And Christians, we need to be the same way. We need to be aware that we have an adversary. Now, notice the next part of this is that James says that the enemy is as a roaring lion. Now, the first thing you need to know, he says as. He doesn't say he is. He says as. In other words, he's imitating. And when you're talking about lions, now we're not talking about lions like we have around here. You know, two different types of cats, both cats, but two different types of cats. And if you've ever watched any of the nature films, you know that in the Middle East and in Africa, they hunt differently than the cats here hunt. Cats here hunt pretty much independent by themselves. But cats in the Far East, which is where these guys would have been familiar with when he wrote this, they hunt totally different. They take their old cats and they put them with the young cats, the babies, the ones that aren't big enough and old enough to hunt yet. And they put them over here, and usually they are in a place where they are upwind. And then all the hunters, they start circling round. And they start coming through to the other side, to the downwind side. And when they get in position, however they communicate to each other, I don't know, but all the older cats will start roaring. And they'll make a noise, and they'll stand up so they can be seen. So the gazelle or whoever they're after, boy, their heads pop up, their ears turn, and they're looking at these cats when the real danger's over here. And all of a sudden, you'll see them. They'll get up and they'll take off and they'll run pretty much right in to the hunters. And the hunters will start circling them. And they'll find the weak one and they'll chase it down and they will catch it. Satan's that way with us. He tries to make all this noise over here and get our attention when the real threat is over here. And we need to be vigilant. We need to know that the threat's over here. And when he starts making all this noise, make all the noise you want. How many of you remember when you were kids that little rhyme, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me"? See, the noise over here is not going to hurt me. The real threat's over here, where he's trying to push me into, where he's trying to lead me and guide me, where he's trying to get me to go without resistance. That's where the real threat's at. But you see, it's fake. It is totally fake. He is as a roaring lion. He is not a roaring lion. The true roaring lion is the Lion of Judah, amen? The true roaring lion is the one that's going to come to save us. But boy, we get our focus off so often. Instead of keeping our focus, being vigilant, staying in the Word of God, staying with the people of God, staying with our friends and family within our church or our set of friends that know God, where when I'm having a problem, I can pick up the phone. And I can say, "Hey, I'm struggling today with this or with that. Can you pray with me? I'm feeling tempted to do this, or I'm feeling tempted to do that. Can you pray with me? Can you lift me up? Can you intercede for me for a few minutes today to help me get that strength back that I need?" Instead, we sit back and we say, maybe we say, nobody cares. I call pastor, he's not going to pray with me. I call brother so-and-so, he's not going to pray with me. They're always too busy. Never too busy. Never too busy. We need each other. We need the strength of each other. See, just like the lions, when they hunt, they need each other to hunt. They take down some pretty impressive animals when they have each other. So the question is, have I humbled myself to God? Have I submitted myself? Have I drawn near to God? Have I got in today and prayed and studied His Word? Or am I trying to do it all out here on my own? And just thinking that nobody cares. We could have our prayer team. I know it's a little bit early, but that's okay. We could have our prayer team and our pianist. I've been sensing this morning a struggle going on. I've been sensing this morning that there's someone that is fighting a battle. And you don't know who to turn to. And you're fighting this battle and thinking you're all by yourself. Well, I'm here to tell you, you're not all by yourself. If you're by yourself, it's because you want to be. First of all, you have the Holy Ghost that is with you always. If you've submitted yourself unto God, you always have the Holy Spirit. But maybe you're here today and you've never submitted yourself to God. You're not even sure about all this stuff. God desires a relationship with you. John 3:16 and 17, my favorite verses in all the Scripture. For God so loved the world, that's you and me. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but would receive everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved. That's God's love for us. He doesn't want to see any of us perish. He made the way. He made the bridge. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, all we have to do is apply it to the doorposts of our heart. If that's you this morning, I just want to invite you. Come. Taste and see that He is good. Amen.